Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, topics, and issues that are important to you. And in our community, we know that small business, large business for that matter, business is important to keeping the engine of our economy running. And this organization, a representative of whom is joining me right now, has been instrumental in supporting businesses for decades. And we're talking with Rachel Beck, who's the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and the Economic Development Corporation. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you for having me.
Explain a little bit for people who might be unfamiliar what the mission and membership of the organization, what those look like.
We are a membership organization of businesses and stakeholders in the community, and we do several things to ensure that we have a strong and healthy business environment in the Pikes Peak region. So that's everything from helping connect businesses to resources, whether it's financial planning, networking, that sort of thing. The Economic Development Corporation, part of our organization, is focused on ensuring that we have a strong employment base here. So they do things like attract new companies to the region and help make sure that we have high-paying jobs in the area. And then what I focus on in my role is making sure that we've got a policy framework that lets businesses do what they do best, which is to innovate and thrive. And so that means working at the local, state, and federal levels with our elected officials and on policies to make sure that those are business friendly. And then lastly, we have a strong defense advocacy role because that does make up about 40% of our economy. So we have a staff member devoted to that.
And before the coronavirus pandemic hit, I'm guessing that emergencies that might crop up would be on the level of a tweak in state legislation that had unintended consequences for some members or businesses. Would you say that's kind of along the lines of what you dealt with before this all hit?
Yes, although you know, we've certainly been involved in helping the community recover from previous disasters, but much more localized. For example, the Waldo Canyon fire. Certainly nothing global. This is new for us, just like it's new for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And now that we're in the thick of it, what kinds of outreach work are you able to do? And what sort of message do you send when you're dealing with, like you said, this is so widespread. It's not like you can change locations or open up at different hours. This is impacting businesses at all levels and pretty much in every part of the country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, our goal right now is to provide the support and the resources that businesses need so that they can first survive the immediate crisis, particularly those businesses that have been shut down, and then secondly, so that they can reopen quickly, safely, and successfully as possible. And then super long term, we're looking at how do we help restore the economy and make sure that we can bring the larger economy in Colorado and in the region back to the great state that it was in before.
Mm-hmm. The even keel, just riding the ship, kind of, to use a Navy analogy,
yes.
I guess. When you're talking about right now, we this week are in a state of flux. We are in a state of transition. Mm-hmm. Businesses were given the go-ahead to do curbside pickup for orders that were made online or over the telephone. And those are non-essential businesses. There have been other businesses. For instance, I'm thinking of the big box stores like Walmart and Office Depot that have been open throughout this entire thing. But these smaller stores, maybe the locally owned stores, as well mm-hmm. as the stores in the malls, they are now in a state of transition. Have you been facing a lot of questions over how these companies are supposed to move through this period and still obey the various health orders?
Yes, absolutely. That has been taking up a significant amount of our work time. We've gotten a lot of calls from businesses, as you said, particularly the smaller local businesses who are either confused about what the executive orders from the state mean to them. You know, and there are a lot of special circumstances that they're saying, well, hey, I read the executive order and it doesn't really cover what I'm trying to do or that my particular situation. Can you help us figure it out? And then a lot of concerns, too, about unfair competition during this time. You know, as you said, there are some retailers who have been allowed to stay open for good reasons. And there are online services that are continuing to operate as usual. And a lot of our smaller retailers have said, you know, I can provide a safe experience to my customers. How do we make sure that I can do that? And so one of the things that we did a couple of weeks ago after receiving so many of those calls was to get together a local group that included city and county leadership and really importantly, the El Paso County Health Department to say, hey, can you help us clarify this either at the local level or with the state? They were very responsive and said, we think that under the current executive order, retail businesses can be providing curbside pickup right now. And so we were really pleased at that response and tried to get the word out to our businesses that that they could do that because time is really critical right now. Mm-hmm. The average small business has 27 days of working capital on hand. And so obviously as we go into, what is this, week six of the stay at home and the safer at home orders, you know, businesses have passed that mark, and we're getting more and more calls of folks saying, okay, you know, I've kind of tapped out my resources. What do we do next?
Right, right. And I've heard it in some businesses, depending on the business, it's even less working capital. You know, the receipts of last week are paying for the supplies that we need for my small restaurant this week, you know, to use one example that I heard of. Our time right now is 9:15. You're listening to KRDO News Radio's The Extra Show. And today we are so pleased to have Rachel Beck, who is with the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Corporation, as our guest. And we're going to be talking with her much more about various relief and response efforts that the Chamber has been doing, including a very interesting event. Now, you may be saying an event that might include, you know, social faux pas where we're not socially distanced, but they have a way to make it so that you can take part in this event and still be safe. So we have much more of The Extra coming up. We are talking about businesses and how they are surviving the pandemic. Your time right now, 9:16. Stick around. And thanks for listening to The Extra. Today, our guest is Rachel Beck, the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Corporation. And Rachel, so glad you could join us. We were talking before the break about the many questions that you were fielding from businesses who felt that they were perhaps shutting doors when competitors might be able to stay open. Were there any movements or businesses that were agitating to see if they could be exempted, that they had a special circumstance that would allow them to be exempted? And were you able to ever successfully work with them and advocate for them to see if the state could allow that?
Yes, we had a number of calls from member businesses, for example, some large manufacturers who early on had said, it looks like we're going to go to a stay-at-home order and we need to have some notice, we need to have some exceptions for safety reasons in our large plants. And so we were able to connect them with the governor's office and help them make those arrangements, for example.
And those
we also had...
Oh, I was going to say, those are the kind of services that you get and advocacy that you get by being a member of the chamber, correct?
Yes, exactly. You know, by working together, we can accomplish a lot more and have a louder voice than individual businesses can do. And so that's really our goal, is to provide that voice of the entire business community in the region, but also to help serve the individual members who make up that business community.
Did you feel that the state was willing to listen to those arguments?
Yes. And in fact, another example that I'll mention is we obviously got a lot of calls from our restaurants, and they had a number of pretty specific requests that we helped them make to the governor's office alongside folks like the Colorado Restaurant Association. for accommodations, excuse me, such as the takeout wine, beer, and cocktail option, which, if you think about it, that's pretty innovative. And the governor's office very easily could have said, we're not comfortable doing that. But they understood just how much that means to restaurants' bottom lines, and that this was something that, you know, restaurants had proposed a safe way to do that. And so I think that's really what this is all about, is figuring out ways to help businesses innovate and continue to do business while keeping their customers and their employees safe. And we feel very strongly that both of those things can coexist.
Mm-hmm. Right. The first time I ordered a beer from curbside, I felt a little weird about it. But after a while, I thought, you know, this isn't, you know, I did not drink it in the car. That would be wrong. But right. I, you know, after a while, you think through the process and you know how important liquor sales are to keeping restaurants and bars afloat. And so very glad that they were able to win that exemption for the businesses that chose to go that route. Now,
yes, I got a margarita myself with my Mexican takeout from a local place. And, you know, they had wrapped that styrofoam cup and so many layers of plastic wrap that even had I wanted to get into it earlier than I should have, I think it took me about 20 minutes to get all that plastic off.
But you can't have Mexican food without that, right? That's part of the whole experience, right? When we're looking at other services that you can get by being a member of the Chamber of Commerce, we should mention that the Chamber has its own COVID page, which offers all sorts of interesting and important resources that you can find, ways to apply for grant funding, not just the major grants that we've heard about, but others that you might not know about. For instance, the National Endowment of the Arts is offering grants, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation has a fund. So I want to make sure that our businesses and business owners that are listening right now know about this. It's Colorado Springs Chamber, edc.com/COVID-19 will get you to the page. But other than those, there are some exciting things that the Chamber is offering right now. Rachel, can you tell us about a virtual experience that I understand you're going to be planning to hold?
Yes. Well, one of our most popular programs that we would have lunches twice a month called Chamber Connect. And we would have a variety of speakers that would talk about all sorts of topics of interest to businesses. And we typically got anywhere from 60 to 100 people who would come to those lunches. And so we have turned those into an online meetup. So we're still doing Chamber Connects. We've just moved them online. And tomorrow we're having a program that we're particularly excited about. It is 9 local business owners who are going to share examples of how they are innovating during this time of change, and how businesses who are participating can kind of take some of those lessons learned and apply them to their own businesses.
Wow, because I think that's the one thing. This is something that all of us, all businesses, you know, all employees have had to learn on the fly. I mean, nobody really had a game plan for something like this of this magnitude.
Right.
Maybe you thought about how to implement it at your workplace, but maybe you hadn't thought in the broader scope of things. You know, what if, you know, my employees aren't able to get childcare because the schools have been closed, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So all of these things are very important to hear about from other business owners, and you might be sparked with some ideas. How can people take part in that, Rachel?
Just go to our website, cscedc.com, and there is a link on the page. You can register for that, and it's free. So all are welcome to participate.
And are you tapped out at a certain number, or could you be open? Is it kind of like a Facebook Live where anyone can watch?
I believe we're using Zoom, and so we can have several hundred people that can participate.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about looking for innovations, were there any things that, because the Chamber is a national organization, I believe, right? Chambers mm-hmm. of Commerce throughout the entire United States. So were you able to find innovations and resources by tapping into that national coalition of organizations?
We do work pretty closely with the U.S. Chamber, particularly when it comes to our advocacy at the federal level. because they certainly have a voice in Washington, D.C. that we cannot replicate as a local chamber. And so I and another one of our staff members serve on two of their policy committees and work pretty closely with a variety of their staff members. They are a great resource for us in terms of research and advocacy, and we try to be a resource for them in terms of helping them to know what businesses across the country are saying.
Keeping your ear to the ground and finding out what's going on at the local level. Yeah. We're talking to Rachel Beck, who's the Vice President for Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Corporation. We've been talking about ways that businesses can tap into the collective experience that we're all sharing and find maybe some ways to find new paths through this all. We were talking about that virtual experience, and I found the list of panelists that you're going to have, just so our listeners can know. We're representatives of Baker & King Security Services, Business Truths Consulting, Colorado Industrial Recycling, Firma IT Solutions, Home Care Assistance of El Paso County, Outside the Bread Box, Six and Giving, I'm pretty sure I didn't pronounce that right, Insurance, and Titan Robotics. Those are just some of the experts that you'll be able to listen to as they present how they're strategizing to make it through this difficult time. We're going to be back with more of The Extra after the break. Need to take a short time out for your news, traffic, and weather. And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And right now, I think we can all agree that a topic that is of paramount importance to all of us is the coronavirus pandemic. And as one might expect, the past month and a half has been some of the darkest economic times for small businesses, really, since the Great Recession back in 2008. And we know that the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce has been right in the thick of things, providing assistance, providing help and support. Rachel Beck is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Chamber and EDC, and she joins me now as our guest and has been joining me throughout the past half hour. Rachel, I know our company, the company that I work for here, KRDO News Radio, we were stymied early on in trying to provide or find, even to locate and source, personal protective equipment for the employees that still were here having to provide essential services. And I'm guessing that experience was echoed throughout your membership. Were those some of the calls that you received? You know, how do I get masks when everything is sold out? How do I find cleaning equipment?
We have gotten a few calls to that effect, yes. Although I think more of them were focused on more issues like cash flow and clarification on what they are and aren't allowed to do under the state's public health orders and trying to get to financial resources, things like that.
Okay, but they have found innovative ways to do things. Tell me about some of the real-life examples you've heard of innovations that are going on.
Yeah, you know, that is the bright spot in this, Shannon, is that we are hearing from a number of our businesses. I guess the old saying is true, you know, necessity being the mother of invention. And two examples I'll tell you that are kind of my favorites. Poor Richard's Restaurant and Bookstore downtown has really pivoted their menu to offer more family-oriented, large group-oriented menu options. So rather than an individual meal, you know, a pan of lasagna, for example.
Right.
One of the things that I think is cool that they're doing is because they also own the bookstore and the toy store there, they're kind of offering it as a package deal. You have a house full of kids cooped up at home. They'll throw in a puzzle or a game or a book along with the pizza. So you've got not only a meal for your family, but some entertainment as well. So pretty cool concept, and I've actually used it myself. It was great.
Oh, that's great. And you know, I think people have been looking for things that are not just subsistence food. We all need that, but also ways to support local businesses and perhaps find some entertainment juice out of it for our families that are stuck at home. I know I certainly have been playing more games than I ever imagined I would be playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Also on that line, you know, folks are trying to figure out how to exercise and stay healthy under current conditions. And I know there are a number of fitness outlets, gyms, or or folks that offer classes that have successfully moved that online, and they're doing online workouts that you can stream live and participate in, and perhaps the instructor can even see you on one of those formats and correct your form as they usually do, and offer you encouragement just as if you were there in person. And then you know, members of those sorts of things can then also go watch the feed later on. If they miss the live opportunity, they can do it at their convenience. So I think that's certainly helping a lot of folks in the region stay healthy and keep those businesses going.
It's about pivoting. And I think businesses and owners and employees who figured out ways to provide services or products at the same time abiding by all the social distancing precautions that they need to be doing, that is a sign that they're going to hopefully survive. And we applaud those efforts. Speaking of adapting, I understand the Chamber's own team has adapted as well. Tell us about some of your efforts to do so.
Well, like so many, we are now living our lives on Zoom. We closed the office pretty early before even the stay-at-home order. And so we've been having daily senior staff meetings on Zoom. We're having a lot of our meetings with our stakeholders and our advisory committees online. And then, of course, as I mentioned, we've moved a lot of our member programs online as well. We've had to experiment a little ourselves. Some of those transfers have been successful. Others didn't get a great response. So we said, okay, there's an area where we gave it a try, and now we need to tinker with it and figure out what's going to work better for people. Mm-hmm. We will continue to work at home probably for the foreseeable future. We are one of the companies that can do that, and so we feel like it's doing our part that we do stay at home and to help stop the spread of the virus and allow other folks who maybe can't conduct their work at home to be able to do that.
But is there something that's lost in the translation, though, in not being able to, I mean, not between employee to employee, but you're in the business of really doing outreach for companies and
Absolutely.
Business owners. And my guess is that this is not allowing you to do what you really would want to be doing for these businesses that are really hurting right now.
Yes, you're right. You know, that's something that's been a challenge for me in particular. A lot of what I do is about relationships, and I haven't quite figured out how to have that same human interaction that I might have over a cup of coffee with somebody where we just need to maybe brainstorm through an issue or a policy and have a discussion. I'm not quite sure how that transfers to Zoom, but you know, I, like everybody else, so we'll have to figure that out. We'll have to adapt. So I'm working on it.
And we applaud the efforts that you and everybody else at your staff is making. When do you envision or have you set a date now to be getting back to, I guess, more in-person activities? Or is that something that we all have to wait for the governor and the health department, the state health department, to decide?
Yes, we have suspended most of our events indefinitely. They're on hiatus. We are hopeful that some of them, particularly our larger signature events that people look forward to, things like the Athena Awards, which recognizes outstanding women in business, the State of the City and State of the Region addresses that Mayor Suthers and the Chair of the Board of County Commissioners give to the community late in the year. We're hopeful to figure something out for those, but until we have a better idea of what the guidance will be from the state and what the virus numbers are further on in the year, we are holding off making final decisions on those events.
Mm. This came on so suddenly. It's mm-hmm. not like any businesses could prepare for it. Have some of your members, I would guess, express not just a financial dilemma that they're facing, but also an emotional, a spiritual, a mental pressure, dark cloud that they are right now looking for ways to find their way out of? Because that seems to me to be, it's such an important thing in business, is to have confidence that the business model that you've created is going to succeed. And this has thrown all models into disarray.
Absolutely. And for, you know, change and uncertainty are difficult for anyone under any circumstances, but this is certainly unprecedented. And for a lot of our businesses, this affects their livelihoods. It affects things that they have spent many years or their whole lives building. And so it is a challenging time. And so one of the things that we've tried to do to react to that is to offer programs that aren't just about cash flow and accessing federal aid or financial advice, but also to attend to the mental health needs that people have at this time.
Mm. Okay. Well, we, of course, are appreciative of everything that you're doing to keep our businesses on even keel. Rachel Beck is the Vice President for Government Affairs for the Chamber of Commerce in Colorado Springs, as well as the Economic Development Corporation. We're going to be back with our final segment of The Extra coming up. We're going to tell you about a very important council of which the Chamber is a partner, and we're going to be telling you about what work that might entail. That's coming up after the break here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra as we continue our discussion with Rachel Beck, who's the Vice President for Government Affairs with the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Corporation. We've been talking about how businesses are coping. Businesses make up the membership of the Chamber of Commerce, and it brings a lot of benefits to being a member. Rachel, why don't you discuss some of those benefits that businesses can enjoy once they get that protection and that membership?
Well, Shannon, you know, one of the, I think the best reasons to become a member of the Chamber and EDC is to support the work that we do, really ensuring that the business community has a loud and effective voice, whether it is with local or state or even federal elected officials who represent our region and are responsible for making decisions that affect how we do business, or being able to connect with others in your industry or across industries so that you can increase your business or learn from others on how to do better. There's all sorts of benefits.
And when you're talking about those benefits, one of the benefits that can be provided right now is there is a local recovery council of which the Chamber is a partner. Describe what that work looks like right now.
Yes. You know, we're doing a lot of work right now that helps businesses get through the immediate issues that they're facing, but we're already looking ahead to what long-term recovery looks like. And so our CEO, Dirk Draper, had started thinking, over a month ago, about what that would look like. Kind of put together a framework of a recovery council that would bring together a lot of folks from our county public health department, as well as experts in city and county administration, local industries, and other stakeholders, philanthropists, to come together and say, okay, what are the issues and what are we going to do to solve them? We've had a lot of time with the county health department. I think we've met 3 times just in the past 10 days to talk about how best to engage. And we've gotten a great reception from El Paso County Health. They're very clear to us that they're open to business concerns and to working together to serve the region and to ensure that that we balance the concerns of people being able to support themselves with keeping everyone's health safe. Mm-hmm.
And that is a concern because we're moving into a very critical time right now. Starting Friday, so just 2 days away, we're going to see businesses like retailers opening up, still a little ways away for restaurants to be open in the same way mm-hmm. that they were before. Even with that opening up, some restaurants might find it difficult to provide social distancing within their spaces because they're, you know, every space is unique. What do you see as the biggest challenges as we move forward, Rachel?
What we're hearing from our businesses is that they're still pretty confused. and they would really like to be planning for reopening according to what the requirements will be for them. And since we don't have as much clarity as perhaps we'd like on what those requirements will be, that's a bit of a challenge. So I was on a conference call yesterday with the governor and his legal staff and talked about some of that. And that, again, is one of the key roles that we play is taking all of that input from our businesses and really going and advocating with the decision makers on what we need to see to make businesses successful. And, you know, I mentioned our local recovery council, but one of the ways that we're doing that on a larger scale is our CEO is serving on the Governor's Council on Economic Stabilization and Growth. And they actually reached out to us and said, who from the Pikes Peak region should be on our council to help ensure that your voice is heard and your concerns are heard? And I think we recommended somewhere like 8 people, and 5 of them are on that Governor's Council. Oh. So that's, again, something that we can do by working together and by being that voice and working every day to have those connections and keeping those lines of communication open.
Well, we applaud the work you're doing. It's encouraging to hear all that's going on amid this difficult time. We'd like to have people reach out if they want to find out more to Colorado Springs Chamber, EDC.com on the internet. You can also find them on Facebook. Just look up Colorado Springs Chamber and you'll be led right to it. Rachel Beck, our guest for today's Extra, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Shannon. We're here to serve, and I really appreciate taking some time to let our businesses know that we're here to do that and how they can get in touch with us.
Yeah, a bright light amid the dark clouds. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.